Today, we're going to be talking about populist uprisings happening all over the world. But first, I got to talk to you about another episode of censorship that's happened to yours truly here. Let's get right into it. And I'm going to get my drawing tool out here so that we can have a conversation. Episode 70. We've been doing good. But unfortunately, we had an episode here, which you can read the title of here. I don't even want to draw it out. This had a certain famous doctor on it from the FLCCC, and we discussed a few things. Apparently, went over the line. And because of that, I have to remind everybody that if you want to find my stuff, if you want to be sure to follow this content, come on over to peakprosperity.com. If you are a member there, we're going to be putting more and more and more of my stuff behind the paywall, particularly anything that's related to medical stuff. But this was one that got taken down. We got a warning. That was on the informed consent. That's our live cast channel. This is our update channel. And then just this morning, woke up and found out that, oops, a second episode titled Farmer Rebellion got a YouTube strike. So we can't post to YouTube for a week. We've been bad boys and girls. We got a timeout. So if you're watching this out on YouTube later on, that's because we had to wait out our timeout, and we're going to try this and see where it goes. But we can feel it closing in. The game is clearly afoot, and it ties to, I believe, this populist uprising. I'm not taking it too personally. There have been a lot of people who've been censored this past week. So it's ratcheting up again, and if you understand the whole mass psychosis formation process, ratcheting is the name of the game. So we're in that ratcheting process right now. And by the way, just last week, I put out an alert. They're very rare. I put these out for my insiders and my VIP supporters, for people who really want to know how to stay abreast of what's going on in the world. This alert, I think, is 3 to 6 months ahead of its time, but big changes coming this year. And some of those we can see contained in this statement. There are only 9 meals between mankind and anarchy. We know that we've got famine coming this year. We know that there's food shortages. We know that the farmers are in rebellion right now. And we've been tracking this in recent weeks. We've tracked what's going on and has gone on down in Argentina, continues to happen there, in Albania, North Macedonia. We've been tracking what's been going on over there in Sri Lanka and in the Netherlands, of course. And now today we have to talk about what's going on in Panama, down there in Central America. What's going on? Panama is erupting. Let's go to this video now and just take a quick peek here. So this is just one of many videos that I found like this. People out beating pots and pans. It's a lot of different groups. I'm in contact with somebody, or you know somebody who's on the ground there that says it's chaos. Nobody quite knows exactly what's going on, who's saying what, but there's various different indigenous groups, union groups. Everybody's unhappy. Guess who they're unhappy with? The government. This is the kind of thing that we expect to happen when resources get tight. That's my frame. That's my lens. That's what I look at the world through. Resources, this next period of time, by which I mean from now till probably infinity, as far as you and I are concerned, is going to be dominated by resources. What's happening with resources, energy in particular, huge stories going on there. The natives are restless in all kinds of different countries. Here we can see a whole wide variety of different things. There's things burning on streets. People are stomping on the flags of the actual ruling party at this point in time. There's mysterious stoppages that would make me very nervous if I suddenly got stopped on a highway in the middle of Bupkis nowhere. And that's what's been going on. And this is what the stores look like right now. The truckers and the farmers have conspired together to not bring stuff into the city. So they are completely 100% without any leafy green vegetables, anything like that, which, come on, Central America, it's all fruits and veggies. Very easy to come by, except not in the cities anymore. So this is breaking really, really quickly. There's a lot of competing demands, and it's unclear if the demands can really be met. So the people are rising up in Panama. But now we got to turn to Italy, because guess what? We have things going on over in Italy as well. Hey, the Italian farmers join in. They are now in their tractors. Their message to Milan is, we are not slaves, we are farmers. Still, the media turns a blind eye. This, I believe, is part of the overall censorship. There is a coordinated pattern of not talking about this stuff happening all over the media. That's why people like myself and other truth-based reporters out there are actually gaining audience, even as the mainstream media sheds audience, because they're out there telling you that the most important things to worry about are things that you know deep down are mostly completely irrelevant to your life. But a massive geopolitical upheaval with a turnover like this, with with truckers, farmers, firemen, ordinary people rising up against a power structure that seems to have no interest in their well-being or health. That's the story of the day. And guess what? We don't see very many of those stories out there in the media. Italy as well as Spain. So we see Spain over here and same story. Spanish farmers in Badajoz, Granada, Albacete demonstrating to protect their way of life and food independence from Spain also affects you. Waiting for the TV specials. Yeah, don't wait too long because with the whole holding your breath because you will die waiting. They're not going around that long. How about this? Poland too. We just heard recently the Poland's up on the game. So look at all those dots. Getting a pattern here, seeing what's happening. These are populist uprisings, and you would think with that much activity on the board, you would be hearing about this. It should be on the news every night. It should be on the front pages of all kinds of different media outlets, and you should be hearing lots and lots about it. So what are we noticing? Same thing. They are protesting against the government's policies, destabilizing production by raising interest rates, which does not stop inflation. So inflation is hitting people. Fuel shortages. Mostly a lack of sense of direction and that the government doesn't really have a plan besides let's wreck all of this stuff or let's make chaotic, incoherent policies out of all of this so that people don't know what to do. It's hard sometimes to differentiate between somebody who's intentionally trying to destroy something and somebody who's just that much of an ignoramus that they accidentally destroy everything, but it doesn't matter. Either way, you end up in the same spot. And that's why I continue to do the reporting I do. And that's why it's important that you follow people who are giving you the actual news on the ground and appropriate context. Because none of this stuff just happened out of, you know, whole air, just thin air, just because people went a little cray-cray. It's because of underlying pressures that are in the system, all of which were completely predictable, all of which were also completely preventable. But the ruling classes had no interest for whatever reason in either preventing or predicting that these things were going to happen. All right. By the way, in Canada, these four-wheeled large devices here are showing up. The Canadian press is among the worst in the world right now. It has lost the plot line completely. Notice how down there in the legend below the picture, how they describe those people in the tractors. They said, people driving tractors protested to blah, 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 blah. We call them farmers, Canadian press. They're called farmers. Just a little afraid to use the word there. I don't know what's going on. It's like, what would happen if a person with a uterus was a person driving a tractor? I guess it's a clumsy sentence construction, you got to admit. Man, it's getting really, really insane out there. We are now seeing Dutch farmers are getting help, though. This isn't just farmers anymore. I showed you last week that it included as well firemen, but now check this out. Look who's joined the party over here. First, not a truck or a farmer to be seen. These are just people. People have decided to turn their cars off, lock the roadways, flash their lights. They are now part of the movement. This is what it is. It's a movement of people who are joining in on this. This is why the media does not want you to know about this or to be talking about it right now. As well, the truckers, when the truckers join in, yeah, you're in trouble because if the truckers ever stop, your country stops. Very simple. And so the trucks have stopped in solidarity with the farmers in the Netherlands. So this is spreading. And so I understand completely why the media has zero interest in talking about this. Now, I had to go to the source. I did end up talking with a couple of gentlemen over in The Hague. And one of them is Pepjen van Houlingen and Michael Jan, the inestimable reporter. And he's over there right now, so we have a couple of clips from them. Let's go now, and then I'll tell you about what's going on with this little piece right here. It'll make more sense what this is once we see these clips. Roll them.
I think it's a very broad movement. We are now here together, of course, Michael and I, but also the Japanese journalists, and we have the same problems in our countries. Yeah? So we see that much of our sovereignty is called, so much of our independence is being slowly but surely is being usurped, is being taken away from us by globalist institutions like the World Economic Forum. So just this moment, I got an answer from the government with regard to questions we asked about the World Economic Forum. And the answer of the government was, well, we cannot send you this literal answer, just a few minutes in. we cannot send you these documents because it doesn't get approved by the World Economic Forum to send you the documents. So we can't control our own government, and yeah, it's true, I think.
Whoa! That's Pipkin, House of Representatives, and he's sitting down with Michael Yon. We'll hear from Michael in just a second. Pipkin was saying that they have high-level government representatives who are going to the WEF, having meetings with the WEF, and then coming back and saying that they can't share what they heard at those meetings because the WEF has indicated it has objections to doing that. Who serves whom? Who has the actual power in this story? This is what the main complaint is about. This is what the sovereignty issue is about. This isn't about farmers needing a few more cents per bushel on their corn or whatever their products are. That's not what this is. This is about people caring about their culture. It's about people caring about each other. It's about fundamentally globalism against, well, whatever you would call the opposite of that, localism. These are people, they have a culture, they care about their culture, they understand you need to conserve these things, that having our own sense of honor and place and duty and a position within the larger culture and raising our children and our grandchildren to fit in with this larger sweep. That's where life actually exists. The WEF, the transhumanists, this whole movement is fundamentally anti-life. In fact, they're so scared of death that they don't want life to happen either. They want everything controlled. They want you tagged, bagged, and barcoded. They want all your money tracked. They want you to think you're being spied on all the time, which truthfully you are if you have one of these, and on and on and on. So that's what's really going on right now. We are farmers, not slaves, is what the Italian farmer said. Let's roll now to the second clip out of this and hear some more context.
The German farmers in Sachsen, a state in Germany, have joined up. I've seen Polish farmers as well explicitly joining hands with Dutch farmers, saying it loud and clear. We are joining with Dutch farmers. We see Germans doing that over and over. Yesterday, German and Dutch farmers were on the border at an immigration station because this place is being invaded as well. And also, as you know, Poland, where I lived for 2 years, those farmers are getting upset. When you get Polish farmers upset, trust me, it's just not a good thing. And the Polish farmers are specifically siding with the Dutch and with Germans. So you're uniting Polish and German and Dutch farmers simultaneously. Meanwhile, as you see what happened in Italy yesterday, and the Spanish farmers as well. So we got the Italian farmers doing similar in the Spanish as well. Courage breeds courage. It's infectious, right? As is cowardice. And we see courage coming from the Canadians, which spread to American truckers. And I flew out to California and I drove all the way from California to Washington, D.C. with the truckers, and I was hopping from truck to truck, and they were flying Canadian flags in thanks for the idea of doing this. And now we see the Dutch doing it. That's why I flew from Mexico to be here. When I see courage, I go to it like a moth to a lantern. And this is important. This is an important battleground. So I came here, and I see it now spreading to Germany, and I see it spreading to Poland. So I may drive over to Poland soon in Germany and talk with those farmers. Numerous Dutch have asked me, do you think that we can win or is this lost? I said, listen, I would have never come here if I thought it was lost. I know we can win. Is it hard? Yep. It'd be very hard. It's going to take a lot of work, obviously. But I wouldn't be here if it were lost. I know we can win. The WEF, we're fighting two big monsters, really. CCP, they are not invulnerable. They are tough, but you know, WEF doesn't have an army. They're not that tough. They're like the Wizard of Oz. They're like the guy behind the curtain. They are very smart, but they're not invulnerable. We faced many smart enemies in the past and defeated them. So it really comes down to getting a groundswell of people up that just stand up. And we've got that forming. We see it in Netherlands now. We see the government here is afraid. You see the Dutch are flying their flags upside down. Yeah. Normally it's red, white, and blue, and now it's blue.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful sign because I like it a lot. Of course, we have our flag, and then it's an old tradition. Eh? Do it upside down, a flag, that means the country is in peril.
Same with us.
Yeah. Oh, same idea. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and you see it everywhere now. So, and you also have the farmer, yeah, we call it handkerchief.
Yeah, the red handkerchief.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. You also see that in many places.
I can't even buy a red handkerchief. They're all gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. How about that? So love both those gentlemen. Michael Yon is becoming a new best friend of mine. He's just an extraordinary human being, and Pipkin as well, and a number of other Dutch parliamentarians or representatives over there are just really standing up and standing strong. And because, well, this is the battle now. I mean, you can clearly see that something is happening. We have this uprising, and I believe it's going to spread really strongly across all of Europe because well, of what I'm going to talk about in the second part of this, where I'm going to be going into some of the energy issues. Again, this is all a resource story. And once you understand that framing, it really helps to understand what is going on. By the way, just notice behind them, they had a big, huge portrait. That would be de Tocqueville. I'm jealous. I wish I had a portrait like that hanging behind me. That's awesome. All right. Well, let's see what else we got here. Yeah, so this is just a still picture I took off of a video. This is also from the Dutch area, and you can see here they got the kids involved. So the politicians, the so-called elites in this story, although they're anything but elite, they're very ordinary people in terms of ego and hubris and all of that. At any rate, they're starting to really lose control of the story. I think this is the context behind the censoring, that once they, the power structure, begins to lose control, they have to get more and more desperate. Censoring somebody is not an act of strength. Censoring somebody is an act of desperation. And I've seen lots of censoring going on lately. And by the way, there's all different kinds of censoring. There's this kind of censoring too. Remember, there's acts of, you can create a sin of, or commit a sin of commission, where you lie, and omission, where you just don't mention something you really probably should. Here's the U.S. media failing bigly. So this is from July 19th. This is today what's being recorded. Absolutely nothing about the uprising. It's not important. It's nowhere on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Not a single story. But the New York Times. Oh, not a single story. Well, how about the BBC then? Not a single story about that. What is more important than all those uprisings we just pointed out? Well, I don't know. Was Richard III really a bad guy? That's a good question. Why we brush our teeth wrong? Obviously more important than hundreds and thousands and maybe millions of people rising up against the aligned political power structures. I don't know. Maybe it is more important. Financial Times speaks largely to a larger European audience. Not a single story. Getting the pattern here? Yeah, just nothing. There's just nothing here at all. So remember, all truth passes through three stages. First, it's ridiculed. Second, it's violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as being self-evident. We are on the path to truth in this story. That ridiculed could also be first, it is ignored. So we are definitely at that stage. This is where we have to get to. We have to continue to push for the truth. We have to push this forward because this is for all the marbles. If we win this battle, freedom and prosperity await on the other side of it. If we lose this battle, the opposites of those two terms are what await us. I believe that our very prosperity is at risk, and obviously our freedom is also very, very much at risk. And the weird part is there are people out there who are actively cheering to have their freedoms taken away. I don't understand these people. If you talk to a lot of people, the framing for this is Russell Brand thinks that, well, this is, you know, why are the farmers under such assault in the Netherlands as a starting spot? It's because, quote, it's in order to bankrupt the farmers so that their land can be grabbed. And it shows you how the Great Reset operates. And the truth of the matter is that there are elements to that story that are absolutely true. And we're seeing more and more of that framing coming out. De Bernie's tweets writing here, WEF has revealed plans to buy up farmland from Dutch farmers who are bankrupted by climate change policies. This was never about climate change, only societal change, eyes wide open. Now, end quote. Whether this is true or not, this idea is circulating widely and it's a motivating force and people believe they see an enemy in this story. Now, it might be more like CJ Hopkins said in our prior interview, that it's just, this is the system, and these are all just symptoms of the system, and whether we got rid of this current crop of clowns, we would get another crop falling right into their place seamlessly, because it's not about the clowns themselves, it's about the system, but whatever it is, it's breaking down. That's what the human herd is reacting to, is this idea that their systems of support are failing them. Their leaders are failing them. Always an awkward time, whether you're an Aztec believing in your priests and priestesses and the rains aren't coming and they're failing you like that, or you're getting failed now. When these great moments of societal change happen, the humans, the population gets restive. And so that's actually what I see going on right now. Now, the reasons for that, there's lots of reasons for this unrest. First, here we see just a little chart. Let me make it bigger so that we can share this together. And this is a little chart. It's just showing resources. And it's saying, well, You know, here we are up to current, we're burning exponentially more stuff. We are like the proverbial reindeer on an island, and we've eaten through most of the lichen, and the herd gets a little skittish because they need the lichen to live because they eat it. We eat minerals, ores, energy, biomass, food and feed and stuff like that. And here you can see history up to current, which is this like dotty line. And then here's the projections for the future. This is an exponential increase in resources. Those resources don't exist in those quantities. They literally don't exist in those quantities. So that's a little awkward, right? That's a moment where the human species, the herd, gets a little nervous about that. And so this is going to lead to a whole future of scarcity defined as, let me move this over a tiny bit, when a supply of a resource cannot meet demand. That's what scarcity is. We're going to see lots of shortages. We're in shortages now. We're going to have a future of shortages, particularly around energy. If you follow my work, hopefully you know that energy is everything. If you have energy, you can have an economy. You don't have energy, you ain't got anything. It's just how it is. So energy is the master resource. And clearly you can see here these increases in food and biomass and energy resources that we're going to be needing, according to this model, they don't exist. So when you don't have a plan and you're being led by people who want you to live into this plan and not threaten the plan they have, which isn't any plan at all, that's a little awkward, and it leads to that skittishness that we're talking about. So our instincts are jangling right now. Our biosphere is failing us. Our resource story doesn't line up with our economic stories. And deep down, we all know that our energy story is anything but resolved. So given all of that, we're just a little restless at this point. And that's part of the restiveness I see, is why I don't think it's going to be cured anytime soon with the election of a different person, if there was such a thing as any difference between the various parties that exist out there. And so one of the things we're going to see is there are a lot of reasons that when the human herd gets restless and it begins to move, pretty much the push is why people get pushed out of an area. People move when pushed. They usually need a push. Like if people are happy and content and well-fed, warm, cool, appropriately for the region, whatever the story is, if people are at least not suffering, they usually don't go anywhere. Pretty happy where they are. People are unhappy. They're moving all over the place. Those pushes include persecution, violence, war, poor wages or other economic lack of opportunity, crop failures and famines. Those are big, big pushers of humans. We're going to see a lot of that coming up this next year. And then generalized lack of opportunities, pollution, natural disasters, all of that. So people are restless. And guess what? It's just a normal biological instinct of a social animal. When the wolves can't find any moose in a certain region, they go to another region. And humans have always done that. We've always gone to the next lush valley if the current one petered out, and there's no next valley in this story. That's the world we live in right now. And if we had a plan for that, if we had leadership that was doing something other than working hard to ignore, suppress, censor, or otherwise shut down any legitimate questioning around this, because it's awkward. You start asking questions, you're like, hey, leaders, why didn't you do something about this when you were in power? Or why should you stay in power? That's the question that nobody really wants to have asked or answered at that level. And I think Thomas Sowell put it really, really well, though. One of the real reasons for this unrest is us. We have to demand better. And we have to insist on it. So politicians are selling magical promises to electorates that want to believe in those magical promises. That's according to the young pretender there on Twitter, quoting Thomas Sowell, quote, "The fact that so many successful politicians are such shameless liars is not only a reflection on them, it is also a reflection on us. When the people want the impossible, only liars can satisfy." End quote. I'm increasingly growing very fond of Thomas Sowell and his quotes, because that resonates strongly with me. I happen to believe in that one quite a lot. All right, but the people have had enough. This is Macron's COVID passport. Just got defeated. Let's see how the French are reacting to that. Oh, the French leadership seems to be fairly in favor of the defeat of that WEF-inspired COVID passport. Would you look at that? Okay, the people have had enough. That is a very good sign. That is all the time I have for this here today. We'll be continuing this conversation in part two. Come join that if you want to. That's over at Peak Prosperity. It's for members. Come join. be part of the movement, stand up and be counted. See you there. Thanks for listening.